Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
When someone pushes the offended party into a time frame, they are rebelling against the process. You can't make people trust you, and you can't trust what you don't trust. The offender must be willing to take the time it takes.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Restoring Broken Trust. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Make your desire known to God and be silent before everyone else. Because the more people that know, here's what happens. I've watched this take place, even right here in this church, where a couple will have difficulty. And next thing you know, one or the other one of them will talk to two or three other people inside the congregation. And then they're looking cross-eyed when the husband or the wife wants to come back into the auditorium and be restored. And now they can't be restored because everybody who has listened to the garbage has now picked up on the side of the offense or the offender. And they won't allow the restoration to take place because they heard too much. Whew. I've been wanting to say that for years. Ask for restoration, the more nervous you make everybody else. What's the motive? All right, here we go, quick, write it down. While we are not commanded to trust, we are commanded to forgive. Here's an important truth for you right here. Get this. Trust needs time to heal, but forgiveness is a decision. I forgive you now, just like Jesus would. But you got to go to school. You're going to have to go to school. Because this is a habit. This is something that's a character flaw inside of your life. Just because you forgive does not always mean that you trust. When people have done things that breach that trust inside of your life, it is right to forgive them. You should do that without them even asking. But that does not mean, okay, let's make it plain. Somebody sticks their hand we went to a church one time where they kept missing cash money out of the, all that kept coming back to the count room in the usher's room was checks. Cash money was disappearing. And there's this one usher who was so excited about ushering. Everybody wondered why. What's the deal? Well, before it got from the back door of the auditorium to the usher's room, he'd helped himself, put it right in his pocket. Okay, he went to jail later on. Not over that, because it was a character flaw in his life and it showed up later. So by the time it got to the usher's room, so you don't go, okay, see all you people on the front row, you get it. All right, so okay, Mr. Thief, yeah, we know you stole $5 billion out of the buckets on a Sunday morning from the offering. Lord, bless this church with $5 billion in the offering bucket this coming weekend. Okay, sorry, just a commercial there. But you're a thief. So I can't have you. I want to be usher. I'm leaving this church. Well, you're going to have to leave. Because we can't trust you to take up the offering anymore. And there may be some other stuff in here that you're not going to be trusted to do. So you can cop an attitude or you can get the process of restoration, but you may never go back to ushering again. Number five, get priorities corrected in the process. I don't have time to, there's more scriptures that I could write down that you would choke on, but I'm just telling you, here's a few. So you read them for yourself when you get home. Will you read them for yourself? Okay, so only 10 of you would do that. So all of you that are sitting beside the person in this building, you read it to them out loud and then send it in a text tomorrow morning to them. A voice text, please. Anybody getting anything out of this? Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Get your priorities right. Why? Because one of the things that needs to be seen by the offendee is consistency. Is there a pattern of corrective change going on that provides the structure to rebuild the trust? Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, I'm not going to ever trust you. There is a difference. This is a powerful truth. There is a difference between weakness and wickedness. So when you're deciding whether or not you're going to trust somebody or not, is that person's heart in a wicked position? Are they bent towards sin continually? Or is it a weakness in their life? Okay, so David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible said. But he messed up big time. He went to God, asked for forgiveness. God never took that away from him and restored him as the king of Israel. Why? Because there was not wickedness in his heart. There was a weakness that he humbled it. What was it that made David a man after God's own heart? Because he knew how to repent. Y'all all right? God knows just when you think God will never trust me again, there is a joy that will come after your brokenness when life will begin again. I'm just going to tell you, that's one of the great pleasures of the ministry is to see someone who comes full circle in their life when they've gone through the process and come on the other side to see the joy and the smile come on their life again when they know I've made it through this mess. Isn't that beautiful? Just as a quick example here, I know my time is running short. Thomas Edison made the light bulb, the very first one he ever made that actually worked. And he called all of the folks, the mayors and all the officials in the town to come to see the amazing new invention. It was upstairs in his lab where he created it, and all the people were gathered outside, and he handed that light bulb to his assistant, a young upstart assistant, who while he was going down the stairs stumbled and fell and dropped the one light bulb. They called off the event, sent everybody home. Mr. Edison got busy making another one. It took months and months and months to develop the first one. And it was the same way with the second one. And all that while, he didn't fire his little assistant, but the assistant never asked for anything. He just kept sweeping the floors and doing whatever he was told to do with gladness, just glad to be there. Amen. When Mr. Edison made the next prototype, he called the young, humbled assistant to him, handed him the one and only bulb, and said, now let's go downstairs and show people the invention. And carefully, the young assistant walked down to show the world the amazing new invention. He put something precious back into the hands of a person who messed up and needed to be restored. Come on, somebody. Relationships are more than ministry. Ask yourself these questions. When you are in the process of restoration, you should work on who you are in your character. Ask yourself, why did I do that? How did I do that? What needs to be changed inside of my life? Because it's in that process where you get close to God and God works on your character. I'm almost through here. You can't force restoration. You've got to submit to it. Okay, for David, the restoration process was deeper and different because it affected the whole nation. Did you hear what I just said? Now let me show you a little quick little thing right here. Trust needs to talk. Say that with me. Trust needs to talk. So sometimes, husband, when you messed up and your wife is the offendee and you're the offender, and she wants to talk and you don't, you're telling her in effect, not only am I opting out of the restoration process, but get over it. She's trying to. But for her, the emotional side of a woman needs to talk. If trust can't discuss, it can't be rebuilt. No one rebuilds, ladies and gentlemen, on what they lost. If it burned out, broke down, all that, you clean it all off. That's what they did at 9/11. And then they rebuilt it. No one rebuilds on what they lost. They rebuild based on when you appreciate what's left. Can I be restored? Absolutely. The moment the two of you look at what is, I'm just talking about a marriage right now. The moment the two of you look at it and say, and this is one question that I always ask of the couples when they're in trouble. Is it of value to you? Do you see value in staying together? Because while you may have a list that says, I have every biblical right to divorce them and get them out of my life, that does not mean that you have to. Just because you got all the reasons why and you could do it doesn't mean you have to. Look at it and say, there's some value left here. Do you think the two of us could rebuild this? Yeah. How long is it going to take? I don't know. But one day you're going to look at it and the sun's going to shine. And you're going to say, look what the Lord has done. Are y'all with me here tonight? Is there value in the process of restoration? Sure there is. Why? Because it gives God time to change and heal you. The process is there so that he can change us and heal us from the inside out. There's stuff that's going on the inside that we have no idea what's going on. Are you with me? Yes. Secondly, it gives God time to change and heal other people. Just because you're healed up doesn't mean that everybody around you that you hurt, wounded, offended, are healed up. God is working on both parties at the same time. So let me give you one statement right here. You're going to love this. This is tweetable. God is not a gossip. And aren't you glad? He's the only one who knows the full tilt of the story. Can you imagine God having a bad day and saying, you know what? I'm fixing to relieve my mind of some of that mess. Blah, 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 blah. I'm glad that God knows how to keep a confidence because he's God. Come on, somebody. God will never reveal what he's doing in you or others. And aren't you glad? Because there's some ways you pray in public that you don't pray in private. In public, oh Lord, omnipotent God of the universe, we beseech you to bless the people that are here. In private, Lord, break out their teeth. I'm sick and tired. Oh, you sanctimonious people, don't pray like that. I just want to let you know your pastor prays like that. God, fix this situation. I don't know what's going on. And you know what happens? He says, keep on praying. Because as soon as you get past how you're feeling, then we'll talk. See, I know none of you in here, you're so holy that you start straight out at the third level, right on up in there at the Ark of the Covenant with your prayers. I have to stay outside and start with the bloody mess out there. Something got to kill, die. And you know who it is? Moi.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.